You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The 2015 Paris Agreement aims to limit the increase in global temperatures to 1.5 degrees above pre-industrial levels. New Zealand is one of 189 signatories to this agreement and ratified the agreement in 2016. However, some analyses indicate that our current trajectory is towards 4 degrees of warming, far higher than the 1.5 degrees needed to limit catastrophic effects. A 2018 IPCC report said that world governments had 12 years to limit climate change catastrophe. Of course, that was 2 years ago, which puts us now at 10 years. With this in mind, I was wondering whether New Zealand's targets and the time frames within which we were working on them were up to scratch. I reached out to Alex Johnston, Oxfam New Zealand's campaign lead. I started by asking him how New Zealand's targets fare against what is needed.
Currently, they are miles apart from each other, those two things. So our current target is around 11% for an 11% reduction by 2030 below 1990 levels. And that is far, far, far away from what we need to be doing to keep warming to within 1.5 degrees. But what we believe at Oxfam and what our report that we put out a couple of weeks ago shows that to keep to 1.5 degrees, not every country should be doing the same. Different countries have different responsibilities. And New Zealand, as a highly developed country and a country that historically has put a lot of pollution out into the atmosphere, needs to be doing more than the average country to limit our emissions. So our share of the effort for 1.5 degrees should be more than the average. But at the moment, we're so far away from even doing the average of what's required.
And what happens if we cross that 1.5 degree threshold?
Well, that's a really devastating threshold to pass. What the science tells us is that that can set off a whole lot of feedback loops in the climate. It also means that for many of our Pacific neighbours on low-lying atolls, that makes it very difficult for them to sustain life on some of those islands. But even at 1 degree of warming, which is what we're at now, we're seeing devastating impacts around the world. You know, we saw the bushfires in Australia earlier this year. So any more warming that we accept is going to give us all devastating impacts, but it's really the people who are on the front lines of climate change who know that 1.5 is a critical target for us to try and keep within. And so New Zealand, if we see ourselves as a Pacific nation that wants to stand by our neighbours and also to be playing our part in the world, then we need to be doing our fair share to keep to that target.
You mentioned Pacific Islands that are kind of getting submerged because of the climate crisis, and these are also nations that have historically contributed the least to climate change. Can you speak a bit more about the elements of global injustice that come to play with this issue?
Well, what many Pacific communities that are fighting back against climate change know, and they are saying loud and clear, is that they are communities that have contributed the least to the problem, yet they are bearing some of the greatest impacts of this issue. And they've been saying that loud and clear for many years, and it's up to us here in Aotearoa and our leaders to listen to the communities on the front lines and respond adequately. So New Zealand is a country that has benefited from, you know, we've been driving our cars for decades. We've been, we've had factories that have been putting pollution into the atmosphere for decades. And the lifestyles that we enjoy here in Aotearoa are a product of, you know, the climate crisis that we collectively as a nation have contributed to. And that puts a responsibility on us to carry a greater share of the burden to tackle this problem. Because, you know, our colleagues and our friends and family in the Pacific know that the impacts of climate change are not distributed equally. They're feeling the impacts more than we are. And likewise, the task of tackling the problem should not be distributed equally either. We should take more of the burden because we contributed more to the problem. The difficulty comes in that if we were to truly meet our fair share of the effort, that it's almost physically impossible for us to do that given how far down the path of warming we are now. for us to do that purely domestically, because we would need to essentially reach negative emissions by within the decade. So what we need to be doing is we need to be doing as much as we can domestically to reduce our own emissions, but we also need to support and resource countries on the front line, developing countries, to reduce their emissions, but we need to step up with the resources to do that, to try and close as much of the gap as we can between what we can do domestically and what our actual fair share is. So we need to be supporting communities on the front line to mitigate their own emissions, but also to adapt to the impacts that they're facing. And currently New Zealand does give money in what's called climate finance to developing countries and to many of our neighbours in the Pacific, but we're not giving anywhere near enough. And so we both have to take greater domestic action at home and greater support for our neighbours on the front lines of climate change.
And if you look at not just the Paris Agreement, but also the Kyoto Protocol and the Copenhagen Agreements, it seems like insufficient governmental policies are kind of a pattern. Why do you think this is?
Yeah, well, countries have been negotiating about climate change for 30 years, and in that 30 years, emissions have more than doubled. And so it's a real collective action problem where, countries are taking their own putting their own self-interest first. But at a certain point, the physics is already catching up with us. We're seeing really devastating climate impacts around the world. So the best time to take action was 30 years ago, but the second best time to take action is now. And that means both at that international level, New Zealand stepping up and increasing its target, but the targets are not enough. We need to actually meet that with the policy that's required and the action that's required to reduce our emissions. And so it's both a matter of us going to those international forums and showing that we're doing our fair share and committing to our fair share, but then it's about following through on the policy side of things. And, those things are not easy. The policy decisions that we have to make are not easy decisions. They require big, bold, transformative change. And, our typical way of going about solving problems is incremental. It's about taking small steps to chip away at a problem. But we're past the point at which we can take incremental change on this issue. So we really need a different way of going about tackling a problem at this scale and with this level of urgency. And that's something I think that our political leaders and our way of doing politics is not really used to. So that's partly why, we see this lack of action. But there have been communities calling for action and taking action all the way along this history of climate negotiations. And so it's about listening to those communities and for our elected leaders to actually respond and step up and take and to do their part.
Jacinda Ardern has called climate change this generation's nuclear-free moment. Do you see this urgency reflected in her government's climate policy?
No, I don't. I think that statement hasn't been met with the policy action that's required to meet the kind of ambition of that statement. We have seen, the Zero Carbon Act has been a really good step up, but that's about long-term targets, and that needs to be met with, decarbonising our economy, decarbonising our transport sector, tackling emissions in agriculture properly, rather than deferring that decision for further down the line. So, yeah, from all parties, actually, from across the political spectrum, we haven't seen enough commitment to taking the action that's required. And what can often happen with setting targets or putting in place processes is that can delay the action that's needed now. And we know that the next three-year period is critical to set up some of that transformative action that's required. So, yeah, we really need to see in the next term of government and whichever party is in power or makeup of parties is in power, that they really step up from what's been done over the last 3 years.
A recent IPSOS report found that over half of New Zealanders would be reluctant to vote for a party that did not take climate change seriously. But at the same time, Kiwis also generally believe that New Zealand is doing quite well on climate issues. How do you buck this perception?
Yeah, I guess it goes back to what I was just saying, that there's an understanding that it's a problem, that we need to do something. But, you know, through making statements about it being a nuclear-free moment, or by making statements about how we will play our part in the Pacific or in the international stage, it can create a perception that we're doing something. But the reality is our emissions are going up still. If they're going down slightly, it's because of COVID, or if they're flatlining, the policy choices that we have in the pipeline at the moment are not going to cut our emissions anywhere near significantly enough. So I think there is a bit of a disconnect between that understanding that we've committed to doing something, but we're not following through with the action that's required. And for all of us, particularly for, you know, civil society and for government and for and the media, we need to help bring our communities along to show that what action is required and what type of future that can create for us. Because otherwise we will continue to have a bit of a disconnect between believing in this cause or understanding that it's something we need to do, but that's not filtering through to, you know, transforming the systems that really have to be transformed to take action on this. You know, we have seen that there's continued decisions like investing in building four-lane highways to live in, or you know, delaying the entry of agriculture into our emissions trading scheme. There's continual decisions that are being made that are just keeping us on the current path that we're on, and those are the things that have to change. Yeah, we can't just keep making good statements on the international stage, but then not following through with the policy choices at home.
What would you like to see from the government that is formed after the election?
In terms of our international targets under the Paris Agreement, what would be great to see is an acknowledgement of New Zealand's fair share of action for 1.5 degrees. The government's put this issue to the Climate Commission, and the Climate Commission will come back with some recommendations. You know, we would expect that the government would take on those recommendations, recognise that we're not currently meeting our fair share, scale up our ambition of what both our targets and the policies that we're having to meet our targets, and then recognise that we have to close the gap between what we can do domestically and our fair share by greatly increasing our support for developing countries on the front lines of climate change. So those would be the things that we would be looking for in the next government.
Damn, that's a hot policy. 95 BFM. That was a 95 BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.